Okay, everyone. Try to make a start. Okay, folks, I'd like to welcome everyone today. Can everyone hear me clearly? Okay. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded except where the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would also remind council of their obligations under the council's code of conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest in which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. Okay, councillors. First of all, I'd like to welcome a new member to the committee, Councillor John Rice, who I understand is replacing Councillor Hurley. John, you're very welcome to your first SPNR meeting. We have two apologies so far, Councillor Rhonda McMurray and Chief Executive Liam Hannaway. Have you any declarations of interest? None. Okay. Pardon? Absolutely, yes. You're very welcome. Sorry, it's not in my notes here, but I take it on board, Councillor Casey. You're all very welcome here tonight to our SPNR meeting. The first item we're going to look at is the action sheet, and I refer to Darina for that. First of all, we'll go through, for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Okay, accurate account.
Thank you, Chair. Hopefully it's all quite self-explanatory. Happy to take questions on any of the items. Just the one thing to mention to you, there's been an item, the first item on the action sheet's been sitting for some time, conscious there's no movement on the right-of-way proposal at Bally Edmund, Restrever. You'll see, members, that we intend to bring a report back to you on this at the next SPNR meeting, so we'll just try and get an update from the Bally Edmund estate on where that is for you. That'll come back to the September SPNR meeting. Happy to take any questions or comments, and we're seeking a proposer and seconder to approve the action sheet and remove those items marked to be removed from the action sheet.
Councillor Carr.
Has the planning application been made? Like
on the Bally Edmund?
On the pathway around the moat.
The action is sitting with us. It had to go back to the Bally Edmund estate for redesign, as I recall, and that's what has been sitting with them. It was for their design consultants to look at that. So we've heard nothing. And this is why our officers are now going to contact the estate to see where that is. If that's your question, if there's a planning application sitting in the system, I don't know that. And I personally don't know if that's one that we could answer off the top of our head. We'd have to come back to you on whether there's one sitting in the system. But the actual action here for SPNR was to go away and look at the design again, and that was with the estate. So we're going to chase them on that and come back to you with an update as to where things are.
Okay, I have a proposer from Councillor Highland. Do I have a seconder? Seconder, Councillor Borges.
Yes,
okay, the next item is item number 4, Planning Committee Scheme and Delegation of Operating Protocol, and I'll bring in Marie.
Sure, thank you very much, and thank you for having the members of the Planning Committee at SPNR. I suppose what I just want to set out, you have the paper in front of you, and I just want to set out a wee bit of background as well. Responsibility, as you know, for a plan transferred to the ART department mid-February of this year. Following that transfer, the RTS committee members requested a review of planning and the planning committee. This was reiterated at the council meeting. A subsequent meeting then was held with party representatives in May. And since that, we've held a series of workshops, one on the 4th of June, 5th of July, and again on the 8th of August. As part of those workshops, I took the opportunity, because as members would know, I was pretty new to planning myself, to review all the minutes of the planning committee from the 1st of April 15 to the 31st of March 18. And really I did that to sort of get a feel for how the planning committee was operating and how we were getting applications out through the door. So just to give you a feel for that, in 2015-16, which was pretty new, there were 74 applications coming to committee. Came to the committee throughout that year. Of that, 61 decisions were taken and 13 were deferred. In that instance, the officer's recommendations, there were 60 of those approved and one was overturned. In 2016-17, there were 272 applications came to committee, and I suppose that was as a result of the fact that we were running two planning committees a month at that stage. Of that, 147 decisions were taken, 113 were deferred, 117 of the officers' recommendations were approved, and 30 of the officers' recommendations were overturned, and we had 9 withdrawals. On 2017-18, we had 199 applications came, 110 decisions taken, 85 deferred, 62 where the officers' recommendations were approved, and 48 of the officers' recommendations were overturned. We also then looked at the applications that were in the system, and I suppose we were sitting with just over 900 live applications. The key thing, as members know in this council, is the issue of the backlog and the legacy backlog that was carried through from the legacy DOE and the transfer across. It became apparent when we started looking at the stats that in May we had 107 applications that were over 24 months old, and I think it's recognised by the members of the planning committee that we're in a situation where there's a potential that we're going to create a legacy of backlog applications from the first term in Uring 1 and Down Council. So we have to really look at, I suppose, how that can be dealt with, and that's what we've been doing in the workshops. The other thing I did then as well, because again as being new to the planning committee, I needed to understand how applications are placed on the committee. So working with the officers, I just looked at how we actually get applications to committee. As members know, the current scheme of delegation refers to the fact that all applications that are refused go to committee. So at that stage then I asked the officers to give me an overview of their files. And at that point, which would have been probably around May time, we had 154 applications that officers had recommendations against, and they were waiting to go into the planning committee system. We can only hear in the region of 20 applications per month, so you can appreciate that is kind of a challenge for us, how we're going to manage that. Of the 154 at that stage, 48 of them have previously been deferred by the committee. I suppose what I would say is then, as a member-driven review, the workshop, we brought all the information and then we talked around the various details. We arrived at a potential for a call-in panel and a new wording to the scheme of delegation. And the call-in panel, the wording of these documents have been looked at on numerous occasions by the members, and you will see where there's been additions or changes just highlighted, I think it's in red possibly in the Minipad papers. And the suggestion is then that the instead of having all refusals go to committee, we would have all applications, bar the ones at the start of the scheme of delegation, which are ones that have to be considered under the Planning Act by the Council, all applications would be referred via a call-in panel. The call-in panel would then be made up of the Chair or Vice Chair of the Planning Committee and two other members. And I suppose the purpose of that is really to ensure and be sure that members have the full control of the decisions of Council in relation to planning. So it's proposed, listening to the members of the workshop, it's proposed that that will be run with, obviously, Anthony as the senior planning officer in attendance, but also we would like to take legal in to give us some support. And I'm going to observe because I have an interest in planning now, so for a while just to see how it would operate. I suppose what I would also say to members is the transfer plan under the ERT section really is seen as an opportunity to promote development in the district. And what we're being advised by members and indeed agents, and particularly members, have advised of that there are developers who are saying that it is so difficult to get applications through this council with the time duration that they're not interested in developing it, and that's not something we want. So as a council, we're very committed to development and we're very committed to promoting that. So then, along with that, I suppose what I would say to members, whilst we're looking tonight at the operating protocol and the scheme of delegation, what has always been said throughout the workshops is this is not going to be the magic bullet and it's not going to cure all ills. This has to be done as a combination of factors. So with that then, I have been working with Anthony and the staff, and I have held meetings with staff members from across the planning section over the last number of months to look at how we operate, how we make decisions, how they review the files, all the detail around that. And we will be continuing to work with the planning workshop members in how we actually change the operating procedures for staff as well. Indeed, that will include, as we agreed at the last workshop, how officers present their reports to the committee. So that's something we will have to bring back as well. But I suppose the other thing for us is we see it as critical for development, and it's recognised again, as reference the planning committee members have said, that the only way that you can successfully achieve development is through proper engagement with the agents and applicants. So we're very keen as officers to change that sort of arrangement and to ensure that we can build on that. And we had said at the last workshop that we would be looking to remove the lag and call-in system early in 2019 to give agents and applicants a direct line into planners, because we would see that as a very positive engagement move. The other thing that I would say is I've committed personally to holding engagement sessions with both the applicants and agents on a twice yearly basis, and it's hoped that the first of these would be held in October of 2018. I've said I would do two in the first instance in October because it recognising just the size of the district, but thereafter we would rotate half yearly between either side of the district. So it's kind of, and then the other thing that's come out of the workshops that we'll be working on is a how-to guide for planning agents and applicants, because again, members recognised that there was a need for us to develop something that would work for them, so we would be doing that. It's essential that we have training for councillors as well, so that will be built in the coming months. So I suppose the paper is with you with the planning proposed protocol and scheme of delegation, and just as a wee reflection, one of the things that we started at the start of the workshops, we said that the ultimate objective of the planning committee and both council is to have an effective planning service which is at the forefront of shaping the character, development and prosperity of the district in the future, and I suppose that's what we aim for. Apologies for giving you such a long spiel, but I'm very conscious that in working with the planning committee members, I'm not actually working with members of FPNR who are actually on this committee that make decisions. And I suppose to that end, what I would say is if there is concerns or issues, I'm quite content to run a further workshop for all members to discuss that. But I'm going to hand over to you with the paper and the recommendations as we have put them to you.
All right, thanks, Marie. I'm conscious of the fact that we have planning committee members here as well, and I'm quite happy for those members to have a role in the conversation tonight. But first of all, I'm going to Councillor Bourne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I suppose just where Marie finished off on the point, that's exactly where I wanted to start. With such a big issue, the first time that I joined this council 3 years ago, I think it was Jim McKinnon that had that name right, a big move from Scotland, and there was the whole restructuring of the planning committee. And the amount of meetings and discussions that we had as a full council, because it was such an important issue, we don't see that this time around. We're sitting at SPNR with a paper that went up a couple of days ago about a huge decision, and we're talking about, Marie, you said a number of times there, you used proper engagement a number of times through your opening speech, and how through many workshops things were developed and we got to some sort of position that we can present to people. All members, all councillors should be at the workshops. I know I totally respect that the planning members, with the councillors that are on the planning committee, are directly involved in this, but we all as councillors feed into the process. I've spoken a number of applications in the planning committee, and any change should have been done with all the councillors. It's very, very difficult for us to get through, and I was concerned that I can sit here. It's very difficult to get through and have a discussion within, 4 or 5 days with a whole group and try and come to a position. But just to get the paper in front of me, I'd be glad if there's a workshop coming after this, just on the comment at the end, I'd gladly attend. I think everybody is in agreement that the backlog is arising due to the requirement of all the refusals going to the planning committee. So I don't think there's any councillor here that would say, listen, something has to give and something has to change. But to go from A to Z without looking at the options in between is what I feel, in my personal opinion, where this paper's going. So if, for example, you have a call-in procedure where I as a councillor call in an application with what I deem a valid plan and reason, for it to go to a so-called briefing panel for a panel of 5 councillors, irrelevant of it to spread across political parties, to then discuss the validity of the reason that I have raised, the only way we can do that is by opening up a discussion in the briefing panel, which is actually discussing the planning application behind closed doors, in my opinion. There is no way that 5 members can sit there with officers and discuss, three political members with officers and discuss the validity of Councillor Bunn's reason on the whatever policy status without getting into the application. And that is where I see a flaw. Now, I have absolutely no issue about, you know, the backlog and how long the planning committees are if applications that are deemed for refusal that generally don't have an agent or a councillor calling them in or wanting to represent them, not going forward to the planning committee. But if I put forward a call in based on a reason, I would expect that application to go to the planning committee and get the full discussion that's been getting over the last couple of years. So I don't agree with the briefing panel. I would like to engage a lot more in the discussion through the workshops. I think that's a mistake over the last couple of weeks, and I think, you know, we need more time to have a look at this. But I certainly, in the current form that it's sitting at, even going through the last document just to finish, on the operating protocol, states that the member speaking on the application must be the member that called it in. Even that's flawed, you know. So you have 2 minutes speaking rights. I've sat in applications where councillors have shared them speaking rights. We want the 2 councillors to call it in. You know, when you call in for a valid reason, it must go straight to the committee, and it can't be developed elsewhere. So I would like to see options between, as I say, A to Z, and something in between all refusals going and the briefing panel. So that's my 2 cents worth.
Sure.
Thanks,
Hannah.
Sorry, you want to... Yeah, if you don't mind if I just respond on that. I think it's important, Chair, just to recognise as officers, we took the lead as the planning committee members on how we held the workshops. So it's not that we don't want to engage with the entire council. So I just want that recorded and noted. In relation to the call-in procedure, that wasn't raised by one of your own colleagues. At page 12 of the operating protocol, we have put an adjustment in there to recognise that, and that was provided by our legal people.
Just on that, I think it's important to come back on that point. I'm not arguing with the calling procedure, I'm arguing for it. You know, if you're taking a calling procedure, something has to be able to all refuse to go to the planning committee. Some sort of a calling procedure, but not something that then has the application to go to the planning
committee.
Okay. What's the first point of the end?
Just that we took the guidance of the planning committee and the members from the various parties as to how we'd operate this.
And the point I want to make on that is we're taking the guidance from the planning committee members, but a paper has been presented to us today to make a decision. So we should have approved that and discussed it. Otherwise, we should have approved it.
Okay, Councillor Hannah.
Chair, I sit in the panel, and thanks for having us here today. I was speaking to Marie earlier on there, and just a number of questions have written down, and a number of my concerns are. First of all, and I warned Marie earlier on what I was going to ask, so to give her a chance to get answers for us. My first question is, does any other council use a call-in procedure like we're proposing? And if they did, it would be a good idea for us to go and observe and learn from that. That's the first question. The second thing there, I would like to ask is, right, we have a problem here. We have a backlog, so we have not. I understand that. I know what's going on, so I do. We are the problem to a certain extent. We are the council. We have the problem. So would it not be better getting somebody from the outside to come in and look at us? We got Jim McKinnon the last time, so he did come up with a lot of solutions. He did, and it's a work, an ongoing work in progress. That is, I think it would be a good idea to get somebody else from the outside in to have a look at us. Now, on the Colin Powell, and I've listened, Councillor Byrne here, so I would have some concerns, and I expressed them to Marie earlier on. We had a brief in Powell before, and it didn't work. And Jim McKinnon, whenever he came in, changed things, so did, and we adopted them, so we did. We're actually, in this Colin Powell that we're proposing at the moment, we're going down pretty much the same road again. I have a number of concerns about it. First of all, this Colin Powell would have a considerable amount of power, so it will. It would have literally a veto on applications going to the planning committee. And one of the biggest, and Councillor Byrne actually touched on what I was saying, and to read this out to you, in all cases a sound planning reason must be given for such a referral. Now, I'm looking around this council chamber here, and I don't know how many councillors in here would be capable of writing that type of a thing. The planning officer, should it be Anthony or whoever was there, put it as we would have a considerable amount of knowledge compared to any one of us here. And my worry would be is that planning officer could pretty much tear to pieces any suggested sound planning reason that we would put forward. That would be my really big concern here. I don't honestly believe as many councillors in here could write it. I don't know if I could do it or not. That Anthony could tear me to pieces, say he would, and throw me on the floor and give me a bitten. You know, now that's just about the head of it, you know. No, but I've just trying to illustrate where my concerns are. And pardon? What? No, but what I'm saying to you is that there must be that sound plan and reason, so there must be. And if we go down this road here, there would be would have to be a very, very strong code of conduct put in place there and rules that would need to be followed very, very strictly. I know, listening at the workshops we have had in the past, over the last number of weeks, that Anthony could maybe clarify to the SPNR here what we've been talking about, that we will not be considering the application, we will only be considering the reason that's been put forward by the councillors as a sound planning reason. That's all we would be considering. I know it's not going to be a planning committee, but we do need to actually consider what needs to go into place there. We do need to do that, so we do. Just talking about, Marie talked about how many applications were overturned. It's only a thought, Marie. A lot of them applications that were overturned were pretty much 12 nils. Whenever the planning committee decided to overturn them, there weren't really many split decisions on it. So, to be quite honest with you, the planning officers must have a reasonable idea of the type of application that the planning committee looks at and will adopt that type of a procession. I know there's one particular type that has come to the planning committee, and I think I heard Anthony McKay or somebody saying that there were 64 of them, and there was only, I think, two of them that was not overturned. So, put it this way, them type of things here would need to be looked at, and the planners should see that themselves. The scheme of delegation, I'm happy enough for it to be changed slightly there, and if there's a work in progress, then it can be changed. That's my thought. Okay. The other item there that I have concerns about as well is for agents whenever they're using their speaking rights. I think I understand what was discussed at the last workshop. Two A4 pages, that's all they can submit, and that's all they can present. Now, just Anthony can clear it up and make it clear to the SPNR committee members here what that means. It's that the agent can only speak on what he submits on them two A4 pages, or is it all the information that he has submitted from the very outset
Okay.
Of the application being submitted.
Yeah.
Is that just there's a few things that I would like, you know, an answer for too. I actually think we do need to go out and consult with the agents as much as possible. I don't know what Marie's planning to do here, sir, I do, but I do honestly think we need to go out and consult with them too, because they are part of the problem too, so they are, because there's applications being submitted that are no-hopers, and that's actually clearing to set them up too. So that's my thoughts on it, Chair, and I hope I'll get some answers here.
Thanks, Councillor Hunt. I'd just remind members to try if possible to remove references to personalities. This is about policy and process. I understand that, but I just ask members to be careful in referring to members of staff. We have a duty to look after our members of staff. We work very diligently. I know you weren't chair, but I know you weren't councillor, so I'm just going through the chair and reminding people of that. Councillor Walker.
Thank you very much. Chair, I have heard the previous two speakers, and I do have my concerns when I got this paper. I tend to agree with some of what Councillor Hannah said, but picking up on what Councillor Byrne has said, I totally agree. We're presented here with a paper tonight, so we are, at Policy and Resources. The majority of us on this committee do not sit on the Planning Committee, so we don't. This is too important an issue to get it wrong. We need to get it right, so we do, in relation to planning applications. If we don't, we're just going to go round in circles. So we are. I, as a councillor, work with applicants who would contact me as their local councillor. I work with agents who contact me, asking to set up pre-meetings and whatever. I do that there. But I think we need to get it right. Now, the councillors that sit in the planning committee are obviously maybe up to speed in relation to the issues. We as councillors that don't are not. And I think what we should be doing here is I think this should be deferred for a month and brought back to the next committee meeting. And in that time, we have a workshop for all councillors. So as we are all given the information in relation to what the planning committee has proposed here and the paper that we have in front of us. Now, I don't think it's too much to ask for. It means we all then can take a collective decision so we can come the next meeting of the Policy and Resources Committee, because I think maybe there's only one, possibly two members of the Policy and Resources Committee that sit in the Planning Committee. So they're the ones that's maybe up to speed in relation to it. The rest of us aren't. So I would make that there a proposal, so I would. So as we're all given the information as councillors. Now, there's 40 councillors in this chamber, so there is. I think, you know, the 40 of us should have the opportunity. If you don't come along, don't come to the next meeting and squeal that this is wrong or this is right. You'll have the opportunity to come along and have your say and hear what has to be said. So I'm making that a proposal.
Okay, we have a proposal from Councillor Walker that we defer this decision for 1 month to the next SPNR meeting. And in the meantime, Marie, you made some reference to a workshop, but there's a proposal there that we hold a workshop for all 40 councillors to go through this process. Now, I'm going to let everybody in to speak, but there is a proposal there. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Burgess.
Chair, we will certainly arrange that within the next within that time frame. I suppose some of what we're delving into there is possibly stuff that we could do within the workshop, and will give us the opportunity to provide the information in detail to the members. So I don't know if you're content for me to I suppose take on board what's been said tonight, but deal with it during the workshop instead, rather than me trying to respond to every member's query, because it's still something that's open for consideration.
So
folks. Do I have a seconder? We have a seconder, we have a proposal. Are we happy to move on?
Chairperson, I want to second what Councillor Byrne was saying. I don't have any chance to speak yet.
Right, well, I'm happy. Councillor Byrne never made a proposal. It was a formal proposal that came from Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Burgess. Is everyone content to move on? Are we content with the proposal as proposed from Councillor Walker? Everyone in agreement? Right. Okay, I'm prepared if people want at this juncture to keep their comments brief, and I'm happy to hear what they want to say, and then we want to try and move on, because we obviously have put this back to next month. Okay?
Thank you, Chairperson. I broadly agree with what Councillor Glynn was saying. Agents and the public need to be consulted about this. And from my own point of view, I'd like information about how other councils' backlogs aren't. How other councils aren't having backlogs around Northern Ireland. Why is it we're having the backlog? And how is it down to councillors' rights to intervening in the planning process? Why is that creating a backlog here and not creating a backlog elsewhere? Why is it we need to reinvent the wheel remote from what the other 10 councils are doing? So I'd like to find out some sort of report at the workshop that has been proposed, find out what other councils are doing. I also wanted to second what Councillor Byrne has said with regard to agents and councillors having the ability to call in a planning application. I can't see this being abused. I know personally, I think I've only called in one in the entire 4 or 5 year period we've been here, and Councillor Mernon got to that first, so I didn't even need to call it in. And where I make representations on planning applications, I usually do it at the pre-planning stage or make submissions prior to the decision being made. It's decisions I've called in over 12 or 13 years are as rare as hen's teeth, so I certainly haven't contributed to any backlog.
Okay.
Now, I would say that there is an issue here about councillors being allowed to make decisions about important planning matters that affect their constituents. Now, I don't think it should be abused, and I think certainly my record shows that I haven't been abusing it, and I certainly have no role or act or part in the backlog that has occurred. But I really would like to know how other councils are able to deal with this issue without removing the rights of councillors to intervene on behalf of their constituents. And I don't have that information.
Councillor Enright, I did say I would take brief comments. Folks, members, you know, there will be an opportunity at the workshop. There are a lot of these concerns. Are we happy to move on? We have made a decision. I'll take brief comments, but I want to move on. If they're not going to be repetitive and repeat what other people have said, I want to make valid new points, then go ahead. Who's up next?
I'm a member of this committee, but...
Be brief, please.
I've got to answer the second time this week, been told to hurry up. And I just want to say my concern is, and I think I've been touched on, I'm very concerned about my role as a councillor being diminished in relation to planning, but that's all for another day.
Okay.
I'm just concerned with the whole show.
Thanks, Councillor.
Yeah, and it's really the only comments I've only really made with the notion of, you know, whatever workshop takes place, the whatever state is brought forward to it, right? And I would just say that I try to consult with other colleagues of mine throughout the North, and it doesn't seem that there's any other briefing panel anywhere. And what was cited to me was an instance where, for example, in Home of Fermanagh Council, where the councillor in question simply cited policy CTY 13 and simply said, can I call in planning number such and such to assess the application against policy CTY 13 regards, and that was it. And that seemed to have been sufficient to get straight to a committee, no briefing panel. So maybe people would look at that as well. Okay. in the round. So basically that is it. There's just a couple of mail thing about, for anybody who looks in to our protocol. The wording of it, where it does talk about the chair or deputy chair, it can be a wee bit misinterpreted that you would have to either one or the other. So I would just say, if we are changing that, to use the words and or.
Right, okay, well, we're into the minutiae there.
I know it is, yes, but I mean, it's made of this.
Okay, thanks, Councillor McCart.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks, Marie, for the update. And I welcome the review and the efforts to address any backlog and speed the whole thing up. I suppose my concern is not so much a concern, but I'm just wondering if you're having that review, are there other issues within the planning system that we should look at? I've been to a few meetings, I've seen it operate, and a couple of things jump out at me. Number one is councillors abstaining at the meeting, and I wonder why that would be. When the planners make a recommendation and someone comes and argues about it, they've either made their case or they haven't. And if they haven't overruled, you know, or made a stronger argument than the planners, then you should be voting with the planners, I would have thought. I can't see cases where really councillors should be. That's not a criticism of councillors on the committee. I have the greatest respect for them. They do a serious amount of work. But I think if enough of them abstain, the judgment can be skewed slightly. I'm just wondering, could that be taken into the review? And the other one was councillors being excluded for not being at every meeting that this application was discussed. For example, if an application comes to committee say, go back and get some more information. They go back and get some more information. It's looked at, examined again, and somebody within that group could be said, no, sorry, you're excluded. You weren't here the last time, even though you're looking at the whole thing again. Now, maybe there's legal reasons for it or whatever.
Yeah.
I just feel it might be better if councillors could have their say on every occasion.
Okay, Councillor.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Councillor Fiona.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. No, not going to rehash anything, but just going to say that I sit in RTS with like a number of the other members here, and so the statistics for the plan normally come back to RTS. And one of the issues I can foresee, or something that I'd be worried about, is with this increase the number of judicial reviews that would take place with regards to planning, and you know, how do we stand then legally, and the sort of process and the procedure that's going to take place then in the new sort of setup. So if we have a briefing panel, what happens after the briefing panel? If it's a split decision at the briefing panel, is there a chance for an appeal of that? You know, so it's just trying to get that sort of details, because that's the details that we're going to have to deal with as an aftermath whenever we're talking to constituents or agents. So it's just to make sure that this comes out in the working group, Chair.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Sharon. Thank you, Chair, and I'll be brief as well. Chair, my concern would be around the 5 days that we would have to submit a request and what level of information would be required in that request. You know, are we to make those points why we think it is valid reason? We would then need to work with the agent that's involved. You know, if you're dealing with more than one application in 1 week, you know, 5 days is not very much time to actually work across. And as some councillor says, we're not architects, so we need to work with those that are the key stakeholders to get that information. So I think 5 days off notification is a wee bit short, especially recently where I'm getting a lot of applications being sent to me to be asking the question, why is it going for refusal? And then the other point is refusals. You know, the last three that I have had at committee, I've had two deferred and one overturned, and I wouldn't want to be able to lose out in arguing for the applicant, whereas I feel that this mechanism may hinder part of that. Councillor Craig.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm in favour of a workshop. If that involves the whole council, I'm happy with that. Now that I'm into my fourth year on the Planning Committee, Chair, I've noted that a large part of the work which comes before the Planning Committee is pretty routine stuff under active. What is an active farm? Does the proposed building cluster with the farm buildings? Is it a replacement? Is it an infill? It's bread and butter stuff, which I feel that the planning officers are well versed to do, and yet that's coming before committee, month in, month out, and it's boring us down. And those are questions just best left by the trained planning officers. It's routine, as I say, stuff, and it's also adding to administrative burden. Now, I must say, I'm a wee bit surprised that some of the members that run the workshop have just raised some new issues here tonight, Chair, and that's a wee bit annoying that they didn't speak out in time instead of waiting to now and raising the concerns. There was, I don't know, at least four workshops. There's ample opportunity to develop that, to develop what we present here tonight. There is no doubt about it. It's not, what I've outlined is not the sort of work that committees should be getting involved in. That there should be a better scheme of delegation. I've noted a lot of people are talking about a scheme of delegation and wanting the backlog down, but a good proposal has been put on the table tonight, but no other proposals have been put. So if we want to serve our community, if we want to serve our businesses, if we want to serve our citizens and our developers, then we need to start getting the backlog down. Then we need to start getting stuff out the door and have a fit-for-purpose planning system. And we need to speed it up. So we have some hard work to do, Chair, but I'm a bit disappointed tonight the way things have gone tonight, Chair, that people haven't contributed before now in the meaningful way they should have, and we might have been a wee bit far on.
Thank you, Chair. The proposals that are before us tonight, as a result of the four workshops, indicate the amount of work that has been put into this by both the officers and by the councillors that sit on the planning committee. It's understandable that members of the SPNR will not be able to get a full grasp of what's suggested and what's proposed, and it's important that they do, and that all councillors do. So I'm glad that Billy has proposed that we defer this for a month for a workshop to allow all councillors to become involved in the process itself. So other than that, that's all I have to say on the matter.
Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Marie, do you want to come back in a minute? Sorry, Councillor Ryan.
Yeah, I'm not going to rehash anything that's already been said, but it's just one comment I think that has to be made, is that the unfortunate thing about what we're dealing with here this evening is that a number of workshops did take place, the last one being not last Wednesday. But unfortunately, an architect was able to ring around members of the SPNR committee before that paper was even made available to members of the SPNR committee, and knew exactly what was coming before this committee here today, and was able to tell those councillors exactly what was coming to them. That is worrying. That means that somebody within that workshop, either more than likely an elected rep, has went and spoke directly to an architect and told them exactly what was coming here before us. That's the worrying thing about all of this here that we're dealing with here today.
That's
good of them to join us as well.
Right.
Chair, I suppose I take on board all the comments and we'll build that into the workshop. I'll be aiming to get a workshop scheduled obviously within the next month, probably within the next fortnight, to be honest with you, because everybody knows how quick the committee comes round again and the papers have to go out. So I'll aim to get that scheduled as quickly as possible, and we do take on board your comments. I think it's important as well just to reiterate to people, this is not about just the planning committee and the scheme of delegation and the operating protocol. And Councillor Carr, I think, referred to it when he was talking. This is very much about how we work with the agents and the applicants as well. And that's the training sessions and the engagement that we have with them. Because I don't think the word fault's not the right word, but I think there are issues on all sides. And if we want to, we have a brand which you're all aware of, which is open for business, empowering potential. And if we want to ensure that we get development in this area, then we need to be working with everybody to make sure we can get these things done and get money spent in this region and make sure that we can get construction going.
Okay, thanks, Marie. Folks, I think all our councillors here understand the need to assist our staff in streamlining our planning system and getting planning applications out the door. I think it is a rational approach to take that if councillors have concern about the detail and the timeline that they've had on this committee, I think it's very important that we have the workshop and that when we come back here, people come back well informed and they do take the opportunity, as Councillor Craig outlined, when they have this workshop to put their ideas forward and make sure that we shape a planning system that our staff are comfortable working with, that agents are comfortable working with, and councillors feel that they're able to speak on behalf of the people who are making the applications. So we move on to the next item on the basis that we have agreed that the workshop will take place. This matter will be deferred until next month's SPNR meeting, and in between times, people will become more informed and can work through the issues. So we move on.
I would suggest having done workshops with the planning committee that normally lasted about two and a half hours, we'll probably schedule a good half day or slightly more.
What I would maybe suggest, members, would be that within your own groupings that you potentially have a look at the documents that you have and maybe come armed to those workshops with the care, pardon the pun, come to those workshops with that information that you want clarity on, and also any ideas that you believe need to be fed into that and concerns that need to be fed into that. There's no point whenever we come here in a month's time raising those issues. That's the time and the platform to do it. And I would welcome any input from all the councillors to try and shape that by the time we come round next month.
Sure. Can I, sorry just for intervening, can I just suggest, actually, which would be really beneficial to me for running the workshops, if you do have issues, if you'd like to put them in an email to me, or phone me if you can get me, but put them in an email that we can actually then constructively address them at the workshop, because if you're coming to the workshop and we're not fully, maybe don't have the information to hand, it becomes difficult to address, whereas if you have issues and you email them to us, we can address them at the workshop then, and hopefully it'll be a very effective and powerful workshop.
Councillor Sharman, the last
bit. Yeah, Chair, that concerns me that me and Maria are on the same wavelength right now. It would be better so then our concerns are answered as part of the workshop.
Okay, all right. We're happy to move on, folks. Item 5, confirmation of the version of Adders Loan and Public Right of Way Bally Ward. We'll bring in Lindsay for this one. Thank you, Marie.
Thank you, Chair, and good evening, members. So the report at agenda item 5 is in relation to the diversion of an asserted public right-of-way at Adders Lonan. The Council have already approved that advertisement of the potential diversion order. No objections have been received. It is therefore an order for the Council to confirm the order as unopposed. The next stage will therefore be that we move to publicly confirm the diversion. I'm happy to accept any questions that members might have on the matter.
Mr. Enright.
I trust that means that the right of way is thereby asserted and enabled, yeah?
That's correct, Councillor Wright. Enright, it's an asserted public right of way.
Any more questions or comments? Can the proposer and seconder? Councillor Enright, proposed. Councillor Helen, second. Item 6, Albert Basin Park Working Group update. And Michael.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this is an update report on the decisions coming out, or the recommendations coming out of the first meeting of the Albert Basin Task and Finish Working Group. At that working group meeting, the group were advised that further soil, groundwater and gas sampling testing would be required to comply with the current contaminated land research guidelines. The group, having considered that advice, recommended that an independent opinion was required to advise on whether the existing reports needed updating before they would recommend proceeding with these reports and studies. I don't intend to read out all the report. So what we would like you to agree to tonight is consider what the working group has put forward and the strategic projects working group has agreed, which is that no further assessment or surveys should proceed until an independent assessment of the existing contamination report was completed, and that the group had met with senior planner. The group also recommended that a full topographic survey of the site would proceed, and this would provide a digital record of the site and provide detailed information on all features of the site, changes in levels, drainage infrastructure services, access locations, and this would allow 3D modelling of the site. So the cost of that is the independent assessment would be about £5,000, and the topographical 3D drone survey would be £10,000.
Okay. Councillor Hill?
Yeah, Chair. This has to go ahead, but
was just wondering what could Michael tell us, what's the time frame in relation to it? How long will it take? Interesting enough, you know, when this site was occupied by travellers and families and scores and scores of people, there was never any talk about contamination on the site. It's only recently that we've heard of it. But there is contamination, it has to be studied. But you would have thought that when people were actually living on the site, the old St. Christopher's Park, that those concerns would have been raised and investigated.
Okay, any other comments? Mr. Ron?
Just to clarify, Michael, you're saying that we're getting an independent survey or report done on the report that was done?
Chair, to be clear, we're getting an independent report on the need to have further reports carried out.
And surely any potential funding or anything that we may seek in the future would look for an up-to-date survey, not something that was carried out 10 years ago.
That certainly was the officer's recommendation at the working group, that these reports, surveys and reports needed to be updated due to changes in regulations and all since the last reports have been carried out.
It almost sounds like, in a sense, we're stalling. Moving forward with this project, it would be much better to get on with actually getting a new report done on the whole site. And I thought that's what the intention of one of the first intentions of the committee would have been to do. Because if we do what is in the papers before us, we just end up back a number of months down the line actually going looking for a full report done on the site.
Sure. I chaired the meeting that night, and there were conflicting views around the table as to what was outdated and what wasn't, and what would still carry. And the concern was that we'd be spending a significant amount of our budget on a full-blown report that may not have been needed, and that £5,000 would have identified the elements of the report that needed to be updated in relation to legislation, because it was believed that many of the elements of the existing report would not have to be updated. And that was the understanding of what I read from the meeting that day.
Yeah.
Would that have been opinions from professional people as such?
Well, there was lengthy discussion about it, and
what would have been from professional opinion?
Well, we had.
Yes or no would be suffice.
Yes or no would suffice.
Yeah. The professional opinions.
The opinion.
Take it as a no then.
Well, no, it's not what I'm saying. If you let me finish, councillor. I'm a transit councillor, you keep interrupting me. Well, I can answer whatever way I feel like answering. And the answer was that the opinions that were tabled that night were from professional people who were feeding into organisations who were there that night, but we did not have to go for a full report. That's why it was thought prudent to spend £5,000 as opposed to £50,000 initially to see what elements of the report needed to be updated. It's not a no. Any other comments?
Chair. Just on Councillor Rowan's comments, I find it increasingly difficult to follow the logic of Councillor Rowan and his colleagues, because over the last couple of months, I, along with a number of his colleagues, have argued. One was on broadband heat maps and whatever, to use previous studies instead of doing study after study after study to look at the previous studies, see what's still relevant, and build on that. And I think that's what this paper's saying. So to go out and just scrap, you know, a document that's sitting there and say, let's start afresh and go new, is a stalling tactic, which is the opposite of what Councillor Rowan's saying. See, you can't have it both ways. We can't begin into committee meetings and talk about, take that study and let's build on it. Let's see what we need from it, what's still relevant, what needs updated, and then go for sorting out them pieces. And then to come to this committee and say, well, just let's go with the previous study, or rubbish the previous study, sorry, and go with a new one. So, I mean, the logic is all over the place. I think it's sensible what's in this paper. What is relevant in that previous study? Let's independently look at it and go forward in the parts that need a new assessment. Simple as, and I propose the argument.
Proposer, got a seconder? Second, Councillor Hannon. Are we happy enough to proceed? Take that as a yes. Okay, item 7, Michael.
Okay, thank you, Chair. This is another report on the Alba Basin Task and Finish Working Group. This report has come out of the recent party representatives forum meeting in August, where members requested that consideration is given to changing the reporting arrangements in place to include consideration of the following: the Albert Basin Task and Finish Working Group report directly to a committee, i.e. not to strategic projects working groups, and also that the Albert Basin Task and Finish Working Group report directly to the AHC committee, given that there is a council commitment for a park on the site. Our recommendation, therefore, is that members give consideration to these issues at 2.1 and consider whether changes are required.
Okay. I want to bring in Doreen in this as well.
Members, just to give you some more background to this discussion at the party representatives forum and the rationale for this coming forward. There's two real issues here that were raised. One is with regard to the timing of decisions being made in relation to the Albert Basin Task and Finish Working Group. And at the minute, as was requested in the original notice of motion, that reports to Strategic Project Working Group, which meets quarterly, and then reports to this committee. So the rationale for bringing it straight to a committee was to speed up the decision-making process in that regard. The second issue then is one of which committee, and really membership is a matter for yourselves to determine. There are arguments in both directions, really. With regard to the Active and Healthy Committee, obviously that committee is concerned with outdoor recreation, and this council has committed a 15-acre park to go on that site, and that being the link. That said, it is a strategic project for this council, and at this stage there's an argument for keeping it with the Strategic Policy and Resources Committee at this stage. This committee deals with Strategic Projects Working Group and deals with the funding via the Efficiency Working Group and the rates process. So there's pros and cons of reporting in either direction, councillors, and obviously it's a matter for yourselves to consider and maybe consider further at a later stage of the project as well. That can always happen. But at the minute, if you are minded to have the Albert Basin Task and Finish Working Group report directly to your committee, you could put it in the direction of the terms of reference of each of the committees, either SPRR or Active and Healthy. So it's really, that was the debate and the rationale that had come forward from the party representatives meeting, just by way of background.
Can I ask, would it be feasible to deal with the strategic elements of it and report to the strategic the strategic elements of it that we're going through at the moment, the SPNR, and then at a later stage when we're on site and ready to go, that it reports to AHC? Is that feasible, or is there a precedent that's set for that before?
No, absolutely. These are your committee councillors, so we can change that at any stage, and really that'll be a matter for yourselves, but that's something we could do that and revisit it at a later stage if once the project's further defined. That would be acceptable.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. First of all, I think it's sensible that it goes straight to committee. I think going to SBWG, I think it meets quarterly or every 3 months. It would drag on for the group, the Albert Basin Task Group, where that group meets, reports to SBWG, which then reports and probably misses two or three SBNR meetings or AHC meetings. So going straight to committee, I think it's sensible, and there's plenty of scrutiny at the committee's level, for example. I would be minded to keep it at SBNR. I think, yes, there is a vision for that site. In the future, it's, you know, a park on that site, but that is a vision at the minute, and it's still a strategic project, so I think it should stay under the umbrella of SBNR until it advances to a certain stage. But I don't think it would be harmful to keep it at SBNR, but would it be possible to have it noted at AHC on the agenda so that there could be discussion? So AHC is kept up to date with SBNR decisions, and it's noted as a document at the end of AHC, and it'll transfer across as the vision comes to life in the future. But I think it's too early to be dealt with as a play facility when it's still just a strategic project on the site.
Okay.
I suppose that it goes straight to committee, as the document says, but instead of AHC, I propose that it comes to SPNO and with it noted for the AHC agenda.
Okay, we have a proposal.
Sure, I'd second that and just make the point that as part of the Albert Basin Working Group, there is that fear that things will stall and will stutter along unless we get our act together. So we need to get, that group meets monthly, and that group does want to see progress made on this very important issue. And the more, I was down on the Greenway recently with my wife, and the link up that park could have with the Greenway is something that really would benefit this council and benefit the people of the area. We should make progress on it. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Rowan.
Yeah, Chair, I was actually going to propose that we just keep it as it is within the committee, and as the project progresses, we then look at it to see how then we would, or what committee it would go through. So I actually make that a proposal, a counter proposal.
That's as it is to report to SPWG. Okay, do I have a seconder for that proposal? Well, we'll take the first proposal.
Just before we get clarity on the second proposal, is it to keep it going to SPWG, or is it to go straight to committee, but a different committee?
No, the SPWG as it is at the minute.
I think just a brief comment, if you don't mind, Chair. I think Justice Councillor Hayland had said the problem with SPWG and the Albert Basin Working Group, you have a working group reporting to a working group reporting to a committee reporting to full council. I mean, it's laughable. Absolutely laughable. So we set up the working group. A working group should report directly to committee. So it has an option of when it meets monthly, it reports to committee monthly, and then waits another month going to full council. That's already 3 months. If we do it any other way, we're going to have Albert Basin Working Group meeting four times before we look at the first agenda, which that is a stalling tactic. So I hope my proposal stands.
Okay. Chair.
Just maybe excuse my ignorance a wee bit, but would it not make sense for the Albert Basin Committee to become a working group and report straight to the committee? Do we need both? Do we need that committee and a special working group? Why is it that...
The Albert Basin is a task and finish group.
Yes.
That's the status it has.
Oh, with some outside people on it, right.
We have a proposal from Councillor Byrne that reports directly to the SPNR, with it noted to AHC, seconded by Councillor Hyland. We also have a counter proposal from Councillor Rowan that we maintain status quo, seconded by Councillor Byrne. We'll take the first.
Sorry, Chair, I'm allowed to speak now.
You can speak, yes. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, is there much point in having a strategic projects working group if strategic projects just bypass it? There's nobody trying to stall anything. I don't sit on it. I don't sit on it. I fully support the Albert Basin project. I can't wait till it's developed. But why have the strategic projects working group if the group itself can make a recommendation that we just bypass it? That's just my only question.
Any officials on it? Okay, any more comments? Okay, take the vote. Take the vote on the first proposal from Councillor Byrne.
Just for members' clarity, so Councillor Byrne has proposed that the Albert Basin Task and Finish Working Group goes straight to the SPNR Committee and is noted by the Active and Healthy Committee. So if we could have all those that are four.
All those four. Against? So that's carried. Mr. Barnes' motion's carried. Okay.
Yeah, well, this is a kind of proposal. It's the draft opposite of it. Leave it as it is.
Okay. Okay. All right. Item 7. The next item, item 8, is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. Can I have a proposer and seconder? Proposer, seconder, Councillor Enright. Do we have the...
Yeah. Okay, so for the purposes of the tape, the following items were considered. Item 8, management accounts. It was agreed to note the management accounts for the period to the 30th of June 2018. Item 9, access to the countryside. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Ruan, seconded by Councillor Byrne, to note the contents of the officer's report and approve the adoption of the access to the countryside policy and procedures appended to the report with a review 6 months from now. Item 10, conflict of interest policy. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Dorn, seconded by Councillor Traynor, to note the contents of the officer's report, approve the adoption of the conflict of interest policy and procedure appended to the report with a review 1 year from the adoption of the policy. Item 11, updated whistleblowing policy. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor O'Murray, seconded by Councillor Traynor, to note the contents of the officer's report and approve the updated whistleblowing policy appended to the report. Item 12, Northern Ireland Public Services Ombudsman. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Ruan, to note the contents of the officer's report and approve the recommendation in paragraph 3.1 authorising a consolidatory payment in the sum outlined in the report as recommended by the Public Services Ombudsman. Item 13, it was agreed on by a proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Traynor, to accept the officer's recommendation at 3.1 under the RPA Staff Severance Scheme for Local Government. Item 14, update on Treasury Management. It was agreed to note the contents of the officer's report. Item 15, action sheet of the Strategic Projects Working Group meeting of the 26th of June. It was agreed to note the action sheet. Item 16, the action sheet from the Albert Basin Task and Finish Working Group of the 6th of June 2018. It was agreed to note the contents of the action sheet.
Okay, folks, item 17 again is for noting. Are we happy to note? Okay, folks, that concludes the meeting. Thank you very much for your time and safe home.